in control. Bless the name. Let's go back to last week's scripture. I know I told you we'd start with Colossians. But let's go back to last week's scripture because I want to read through that. It's talking about reconciliation. And it's talking about God's people in the earth. But it's talking about our relationship personally with God. Romans, Daniel, what we did last week. And I'm just going to read through it real quickly because it's the foundation of what we're doing for the next few times that I'm speaking. The idea being that for too many of us, for too long, we have our own opinions. Our opinions are irrelevant. God's opinion is what matters. All right? I was with somebody this week, and they were talking about just how bad the church is and just how the church is struggling because it's not right and that God can't come back because he's coming back for a perfect church without spot or wrinkle. And one of the things that bothers me is that too many people, too many ministers point to that to point about how the church is so weak, so frail, and such in a bad place that if we don't get our act together, and if we don't start staying pure, and if we don't start getting right, that God can't come back. I love when people use one scripture out of the Bible to describe everything God's going to do. Because then you're ignoring the scriptures that say that God will come back while two people are walking. One will be, they'll be walking through a field, one will be there, and then all of a sudden one will be gone. It's talking about God coming back when we least expect it. Yeah. Who are we to arrogantly think that we can make the church white as snow? Who are we who to arrogantly think that our behavior can be made such that we could be perfect? Because that's the only way you're white as snow. We can't do it. That's the thing we have to understand. So I'm talking with this couple, and this person is getting all excited about how we've got to be stronger with the people. We've got to be tougher with the people. We've got to be able to get the churches to be perfect. And I'm thinking to myself, you just don't understand Christ, do you? You just don't understand the Word of God. And so this is why I wanted to reread what we read last week as we continue into this week. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, read that with me. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Two, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of what? Do we actually think we can achieve white as snow on our own? Man, I can't wear a white shirt without worrying about... Look, here we go. Whenever I go out, my wife's already got the smile going. It seems that when we lose weight, our shirts stay cleaner. For some reason, when I lost all my weight, I had cleaner clothes. These days, I don't know, maybe it's that extra few inches that I have to carry something. Something's going to drip, and the shelf is going to catch it. So whenever I wear a shirt like this, I'm always got another spare shirt in the car because inevitably I'm changing. When Apostle Israel was here, for whatever reason, I ended up changing my shirt 3 times because I dripped something on the shirt. whether it was a drink or whether it was something that I was eating. That's why sometimes all I'm eating is dry food. You can brush off crumbs. But then I feel like I'm cattle in the field, chewing and, you know, salads. I love salads. Don't give me anything that's got oil or something. I'm tossing stuff, you know. I swear to God, I think that's why ties were invented. But now ties are more expensive than shirts, so that stinks, okay? Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Three, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. And, of course, this is one thing that I keyed on last week pretty hard. We rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, what are you talking about helpless, Pastor? And again, let me remind you, we're not talking about your strength to be able to care for your family. We're not talking about your strength to be able to do your job. We're not talking about your strength in your relationship. But then again, yes, we are. Because the source of everything is Christ and God's love, and everything comes back to that. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight, read that again. Read it with me. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You mean I can't be good enough? You mean I'm not better than you guys because I'm the pastor? You mean I'm not better than you because I volunteer in a couple of different places? No, because I am covered with spots, not just because of my eating habits, but because of my personality, because I fail at times, because I fall into sin, because I get into things that I shouldn't get into. And that's after Christ saved me. But what saved me was not my attitude. What saved me was not my behavior. What saved me was believing in faith Christ's sacrifice to die for me, which covers me in his blood, which gives God the ability to see me through the blood of Christ. And he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Verse 10. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. And so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Here's the thing. Whether we're talking about the election, whether we're talking about life, whether we're talking about all of this stuff, too many times what we hear from the pulpits and from the world is nothing but fear. Nothing but fear. These things shall come to pass. These things we will endure. These things we will use to build our character. These things are what we need to understand is what God does because he wants us to get into the right place. We keep thinking that by our what we do, we're going to change the world. And God don't care about changing the world. God cares about changing you. And changing me, and changing everybody that we come into contact with. And that's going to be happening not because, I'm here to tell you, you want to see revival? It's not about the church. It's about you.
That's right.
It's about you. It's about you not falling apart every time something goes wrong. Yeah. It's about you turning to look to Christ for the strength that you need every time something happens. It's about you understanding that you can be an overcomer and not a failure. It's about you when you're out there with other people in the world, when we're preaching Christ all the time and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and we fall apart and people say, this is the Christ that strengthens you?
For sure.
I agree with Rev Bev and Apostle Tony and everybody else that gets all excited about elections. We have a right in this country that nobody else has. But understand something. Anybody who tells you that your vote is who's going to select who's in office is using a scare tactic. God has already selected who will be in office. Because if I believe the word of God, then I understand Romans chapter 13 when it says, all those in authority have been placed there by Pastor David's vote. Verse 9 again. Back to verse 9. Then we're going to move forward. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. God's condemnation on us? No. God's condemnation on sin. God's condemnation on a world that won't receive him. You're saved. You're safe. You're safe. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You can help save others. I'm here to tell you, folks. When the Titanic sank, you know what the big problem was with the Titanic sinking? Other than it shouldn't have sank. They didn't have enough lifeboats. They didn't have enough lifeboats to be able to save over 3 times the amount of people. They only had a third of the amount of lifeboats. Now, they saved that third. Everybody that was able to get into a lifeboat was saved. Well, here, we are living on the Titanic. The world is the Titanic. But God has given the world enough lifeboats. You, my friends, are God's lifeboats. You, my friends, are the ones that can throw out the life preserver, that can save people, that can bring people into the raft, into the house of God, into understanding who Jesus Christ is. Reconciliation, that's our job. First, he did it with us. Now he's expecting us to do it with them. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and supreme over all creation. He existed from the beginning. He's the visible image, though, of the invisible God. Okay, Pastor, we've heard that before. We understand that. Verse 16. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Don't move. Again, I want you to see that. He created everything. Everything is under God's eye. Everything is under God's understanding. Everything is under God's control. And you know what the purpose of everything is? To get our attention so that we would come to a relationship with him. Let me ask you guys a question. In fact, let me point out something. We've got our new phones. I know that there are some people who kept asking us, Pastor, did your phone blow up on you yet? We had the new exploding phones. We got the exploding phones replaced with new non-exploding phones, which they found out afterwards were still exploding phones. Mm-hmm. Okay? We didn't want to get rid of the phones because they were the best phones we ever had. We loved the phones. But now they're actually forcing people by changing the software so that now the battery will only go halfway to really be aggravating, you know? because everybody wants a phone that has battery power that's going to last, right? Airlines have banned the phones from flying, okay? And they you know, made it so that if you charge the phone, it'll only go to 60%. They're changing the software. They are making people bring them back. It's kind of like the church. God is telling us sometimes the way you're living is wrong. And he's trying to tell us, come back. Bring it back. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we were bad enough, but our phones never got so hot that we thought that we were in trouble. But they kept doing things. I mean, literally, we were getting notices daily from either Verizon or Samsung. Shut this phone down. Turn it off. I mean, they did everything except make the thing explode. Okay? And yet, that's the way too many of us live our lives. God's trying to reach us. God's trying to save us. God's trying to get us to come in so that we can find what the truth is and get what we need. And I got to be honest with you. Look at that woman. The most beautiful thing in my life after Christ. She is the light of my life. She is beauty personified, love personified. My grandkids love her. The children love her. You folks love her. But every time we get new technology, did you fix my phone yet? Do you get the apps on yet? Do you get it? What's my password again? In the last 3 months, 4 months, I have now set up 6 phones. Anybody who's ever set up a phone, you can feel my pain, right? And I've done 6 phones. And every time I've done a phone and I've tried to set up her phone, I hear the same thing. What's my password again? How do I sign in? What's going on? Now, apps are important. Anybody who's got a smartphone, you know apps are important because they really do make things easy. Well, you know, wouldn't it be easy if we had an app for life? Don't mess up my teaching. If I need to gag you, I will. Apps are great because they're able to, you know, you go to the calendar, it automatically tells you things. It'll give you notes. Imagine that, waking up in the morning and actually having your phone tell you, you got this to do today, you got that to do later on, you got this. I mean, it actually tells you. I mean, before, you'd have to go to the paper map on the wall or on your desk. You'd have to move some of the papers so you could actually see your calendar. Oh, I had it on my calendar, but I didn't look at my calendar. If you're carrying a phone, it actually can, it can send off noise. It can send off, you know, bells and whistles. It'll flash at you, right? It'll do everything except take you to where you got to go. There's an app for that. If you're not feeling well, this drives me crazy. Oh, I think I've got this rare form of disease that only happens in Thailand. How do you know that? Well, I checked the app. Have you ever been to Thailand? No, but it sounds just like it. So I found psychology apps. There's an app for that. I can fix you. We can get that mental illness taken care of, where you think you have every disease known to man. Okay? For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Through Christ he created everything. Who created everything? No. God created everything through Christ. Right?
Yes.
How many of us? I was just going to say, I was going to use Charlie again, but I couldn't do it. How many like to bake? I know we got quite a few people that like to bake. Who makes the cake? Who bakes the cake? The oven bakes the cake. You do not bake the cake. So, Donna, you thought you baked the cake? Would you rub it real hard and it come to... No. The oven bakes the cake. You were the creator, but someone else does it, okay? That's the whole point. Christ created the heaven and earth. It was through him that God used. God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as the thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Next verse. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Yeah. Not you, not me. Now, we do need to pray. Do we need to pray so that God can do it? God already does it. Do we need to pray so that God will be moved? God don't need to be moved. He already knows what you need before you ask. That's what the word says. What is the reason for our prayers? So that we'll be moved.
That's right.
So that we will come more into the understanding and conformity of who Christ is and what Christ does and what God is planning on the face of this earth. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. 18. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. What is the church?
His body.
So who is in charge?
Christ.
Why is it the church keeps thinking it's in charge? He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. The New King James, it talks about being firstborn. He's the firstborn of that which God was doing after sin entered through Adam and Eve. Christ is the firstborn as in flesh of those who would be able to receive who God, what God is doing in the face of this earth. He is talked about here not necessarily being just the firstborn as in the physical, but being firstborn right from the beginning of creation so that we can understand his headship. He's head of the church, not just because God said he was head of the church. He's head of the church because he existed before all the church. He existed before all the earth. His authority is supreme. I'm here to tell you, your opinions are nothing compared to his authority. My opinion is nothing compared to his authority. If we're going to see breakthrough, if we're going to see his hand move in our lives, if we're going to see God be able to do the things around us, in us, through us, then we have to understand his headship, his leadership, and not our opinions. And if they don't line up, they're useless. Now, if they line up, then you'll see the hand of God move. He is first in everything. Next verse. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Go back one more. Let's take 10 seconds on this one. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Why do too many leaders seem to have this innate ability to tell you they have the answers if not every other word is talking about Christ? Well, the word of God. God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. That's one of the shortest verses that we're reading today. And stop to think about how powerful that is. God is everything. But God doesn't give us two things to worry about. And remember when John the Baptist, when Christ came to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, what did John the Baptist say? I'm not worthy to even unlatch your sandals, to tie your sandals. I'm not worthy to even touch your feet. You should be baptizing me. And Christ said what? Permit it to be so, because these are the things, the order that it was meant to be. He had to submit to someone else. He was baptized. When he came out of the water, it says that the skies opened up. A dove representing the Holy Spirit came down and lit on him. And it says that the people heard a voice saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." God was publicly acknowledging Jesus Christ, his authority, his power, his ability, his leadership. And then God, to honor Christ, which later in John chapter 15, he turns around and shows how by honoring him, you're honoring God. God says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So the question that I have, if God in all his fullness, in all his greatness, in all his power, in all his might, is pleased to live in Christ, why is it we put on Christ when we want to, when we need to, if we remember it, and when we don't live in Christ? We set Christ aside because to live in Christ means that I have to judge myself. To live in Christ means I have to change attitude. I have to change speech. I have to change behavior. To live in Christ means I have to give up some of my anger, some of my hate. Can I say the word hate in the church? Get used to it, understand it, because that's what holds us prisoner. Our fear. Our fear gets built up to the point where we are afraid to do anything or to say anything, and we follow people around because they've built up the fear on the inside of us. So we can't trust this, and we can't trust that, and we can't trust God. And yet, God trusts Christ. He's pleased to live in Christ. He's pleased that the whole church would recognize Christ first. He's pleased that the whole church would understand that you have to go through Christ to get to him. He's pleased to understand, to help us understand, that it's in Christ that we have our life and breath and being. It's in Christ. Nothing else. We go back to the previous scriptures in Romans where it talks about going through the difficulties because it builds character. But we don't want to go through things. Let me pray against the things. Well, sometimes you're praying against God's plan. Because God's going to remove something from your life, and so God's going to put you through the wringer sometimes. Oh, we don't want to go through the wringer, but then again, if we were living in Christ, we wouldn't be in the wringer in the first place. The people in my office downtown get aggravated with me. Something will go wrong, and I don't get upset. We do the best we can with what we got, knowing that God's still on the throne.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, come on. They did this and they did that. Yeah. Christ is still on the throne. God's still on the throne. I don't have to worry about what they did. Oh, no, I may have to adjust some things. I may have to do some things different. I may have to work around or through or whatever. But you know what? Favor comes when you stand on the rock and not on you. And then people recognize you're not going to be moved. You will not be moved. You don't have to get all... I had a meeting this week with the mayor.
Oh boy.
And with the head of Catholic Social Services and with the head of three departments. And it was all on the homeless because there's this gentleman who, that if I was to mention his name, everybody would know. That on his Facebook posting and with all the help that he gets the city pretty riled with him. And he wants to do things and everything else. And he asked for a meeting with the mayor. And the mayor, quite frankly, and yes, I don't care if this is on TV, the mayor apparently was afraid to meet with this guy alone, so he brought in the rest of us. Of course, the mayor wasn't expecting some of the things that I had to say. Because, yes, the gentleman did go over the top way too many times. But my suggestion to the mayor and to the person, let's work together. Because there's people he's able to reach that we can't reach.
Right.
And then, sitting in the mayor's office, I'm able to point out to everybody that the Bible says that we'll always have the poor with us. Everybody's always talking about how we're going to eliminate the poor. The Bible says we will always have the poor with us. So somebody tell me how we're going to end homelessness. Or why, how we think that we're not going to have the need to help people with food. Well, see, the world would tell you that they're lazy, that they're no good. And yet that's not what the Bible says. It says to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. I don't remember in those scriptures except the lazy, no good ones. Mm-hmm. I don't remember there, that verse. But on the way out the door, I hit the mayor with something, not in front of everybody, that I had heard about a certain foundation who's trying to build a playground and are now being highly encouraged to move that playground into Buttonwood Park when they were supposed to go in a very public place. And they're being highly encouraged, squeezed, basically, by the city to go into the zoo. Yeah. Because the zoo is going to go through a supposed $10 million renovation. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have this as a part of the highlight of the zoo? Wonderful. But how do you build a handicapped playground and put it in a place that you have to buy a ticket in order to get in the first place? Okay? And so when I got told this by a couple of the board members, see, this is where, as the Bible tells us, when we have a place before kings and queens, and not that the mayor's king, but sometimes I think he thinks so, now you're able to go and have a conversation. So on the way out the door, when everybody else was leaving, I pointed out to him. I says, hey, John, you know, there's a rumor out there that they're being forced to go in the zoo. I tell you, there's going to be a lot of upset people if that's true. Oh, no, 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 no. All of a sudden, all defensive. That's not the case. I said, you sure? He says, yeah. I says, well, they think it's coming out of City Hall. Oh, of course, because I always get blamed for everything. Oh, well, John, if that's not true, then I'll be the first one to back you up. Of course, on the other hand, if there is any truth, I'll also be the first one to be yelling. Oh, no, no. He started reassuring me. See, when you work with even those people that you think you might not have relationship with, God makes a place so that something can be said. It doesn't have to be this big pontification. It doesn't have to be this big press conference.
Right.
It's that one-on-one. Yep. It's that ability to speak to one another. It's that ability to share with one another. Because what means more to anybody is not what somebody says just from the pulpit. You guys, prayfully, are here because what you hear from me or whoever's here, it means something to you. But somebody who's never met me, somebody who doesn't know me or anything else, it's not going to mean as much until they know me. When there's a relationship, and that's why more growth happens because of the people that sit in the church than the people that stand in front of the church. Because people get to know you, and if they know you and they know that you are receiving something, then they want what you have. And that's the thing that's important for us to understand. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. The question is, are we pleased to live in Christ?
Yeah.
Or do we put Christ on when we want and take Christ off when we don't? You know, there are some apps that I've downloaded. Have you ever downloaded an app on your phone that's annoying?
Yes.
Whenever you download all your apps and you get your phone set up at first, how many apps signal you?
Lots.
You know, this one dings and that one gongs and this one goes off. And then there's the one in the middle of the night and my wife will say, David, shut that thing off. Hey. Some are important. I can't shut off my phone. I get calls in the middle of the night. But then I go and look, and there's a sale at Macy's this week. They couldn't have told me that in the morning? No. I got to be the first to know at 3 in the morning. I can't wait to get dressed and go down to Macy's. Have I ever shopped at Macy's? Why did I come up with that one? I've never shopped at Macy's. Next verse. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. Through him, being Jesus Christ, God reconciled everything. What did he reconcile?
Everything.
Who in here thinks that you have difficulties going on in your life right now? Who in here is having trouble with your faith, trouble with your life, trouble with hope, trouble with love, trouble with finances? How many people in here are having struggles, period? Through him, Jesus Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. Peace, where's peace? There's no peace. You can't find peace on the news. You can't find peace walking through the city. And yet, what's this? He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He's talking about the spiritual world. He's talking about the strength that we can have when we pull into Jesus Christ in our relationship with him. He's talking about how the world doesn't need to get us down. We can affect the world. But that's if we get our act together and start trusting and believing in who he is and what he does in us, through us, and for us. 21. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Now, this is a scripture that, for me, is not easy. Because the truth is, this is talking about us before we accept Christ. It's talking about how we were enemies before we accepted Christ. Because before we accepted Christ, we were accepting the things of the world. And as Christians, until we make that conscious decision to know that we're Christians, to know that we're followers of Christ, to know that my being good enough is not good enough, because there is no good enough, to know that Christ's blood shed on the cross is what saves me. This includes you who were once far away from God. That's who I was. We were enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. This is all supposed to be before we accept Christ. And yet, quite frankly, especially when we counsel, especially when we deal with people, especially when we understand what people are going through, too many times, this is where we keep going back in our mind. Why do we have difficulties? Why do we have a lack of faith? Why do we mistrust? Why do we get angry? Why do we judge? Because we keep putting back on the old app. We keep going back to human 2.2 rather than Christ. We need to use the app that God gave us. The application is what a word means. App means application. It's easy for us to understand the phone designation. It's an app. I got an app for that. Well, I got an app for you. I got an app for me. His name's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Next scripture. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Do you realize that you are now in the presence of God? Constantly, we are in the presence of God. By being and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we live in Christ. Isn't that what the word says? What did we just read a few minutes ago? God is content to live where? In Christ. That means we're in God's presence all the time. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. You want to know where the church is without spot and blemish? It's right here. Not because of the way you and I behave, but because of Christ.
That's right.
You know, God could come back right now Because he made the church without spot and blemish. That's why the Bible tells us to be careful to continue to walk in Christ so that we don't get left behind. To abide in him as I abide in you. Live in him as he lives in you. See, that's the truth. That's the understanding that we need to have. That's why our behavior has to change. Our mindset has to change. That's why if you have to put a stinking app on the phone or an app in your head, we got to do it. Because that way, what does it say about our words? Life or death in the power of the tongue. What does it say? If you got nothing good to say, what are you supposed to say? Some of us should walk around with gags. In fact, in Psalms, it says, in Psalms, King David says, put a watch over my mouth. Put a watch over my mouth. Can you imagine that? The king, the one designated to be king, was going through some rough stuff. He was saying things, and his men wanted him to kill Saul. His men said, look, you've been called. Just take him out. You're in place. And he says, no, because that one was appointed by God. Even though I may take his place, because that's what the prophet has said, it is not the time. I will not, by my hand, kill him. God does what God's going to do to remove people or place people. We keep thinking we got the power. We don't. What power we need to look for is the one to pull into Christ. The power to not open your mouth when you want to.
That's right.
Because God told you not to.
That's right. It's a big thing.
Hey, want to do an experiment this week?
Lab.
Here's the experiment. Carry around a piece of paper and something to write with. And every time you open your mouth, if it's positive, put a check mark.
Yeah.
Then bring a notebook. Because every time you say something bad, check off in there. I'm willing to tell you, almost guaranteed, you're going to have a piece of paper for good and a notebook for bad. Mm. Oh, come on, Pastor. It's not that bad. I've been around some of you. You've been around me. Let's stop to think about it. Let's stop to think about every time we judge someone and don't do anything about it to help, to build relationship. Let's stop to think about every time we judge a politician or the news or the poor or the rich. Let's stop to think about every time we judge something that we deem is incorrect. You know what amazes me? I've been in Christian gatherings where I've heard everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, and yet some will believe this side is correct and some will believe this side is correct. And I'll say to myself, and then I've said it to a few, how can we both look at the other as evil when we have the same Christ?
Right.
And here's the reason. Because we don't just look at Christ, we look through our own desires, our own heart, our own judgments, and that's why, believe it or not, there are Christians who believe totally in the Democratic Party, and there are Christians who believe totally in the Republican Party. And and here's what I'm going to tell you. Both sides are wrong, because they should all be believing in the godly party. God first and above all else. It's not about parties. And yes, there are things that we do need to be mindful of. And there are things that, you know, we do have to judge when we go and make that vote. But what we need to vote for more than anything else is that God will help us be in the place that we need to be in. And you know what? No matter who's in office, our prayer should be, God, give me the ability to minister, to pray, to do whatever it takes to be a force in this earth.
Right.
You don't have to. You don't have to take care of the whole United States. Take care of your next door neighbor. take care of the person in the next cubicle that you work with, or the workstation, or wherever it is that you're working. Take care of the next person that you meet. Take care of that person in school that, you know, when you're waiting to pick up your kids and there's another mother who's miserable going through something, and you come up alongside and you say, "Hey, you okay?" And you don't have to hit them with Christ right away, because Christ is being in you, through you. They will know you are a Christian by your love. And you know how you share your love? By just caring with people. "Oh, but Pastor, I've been burned. People don't deserve my work." You're right. Nobody does, and neither do we. Neither did we. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Now, here's the truth. You ready? There are some of us who think that we don't need God for it. And that's the biggest fault you have. The biggest fault I can have. But the truth is, we do stand before God without a fault if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One last verse. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. You know who's appointed now? You and me. You and me are appointed now. So here's the truth, the very real truth. God has given us not the spirit of fear. Not the spirit of fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Power of love. Love. First and foremost. If we love first, then we're not hating. We're not judging. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Just let me read this. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law, sin and death, when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, that's verse 5, Romans chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 5. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds which resulted in death. Not physical death, though that can happen, but spiritual death, separation from God. Now, when we're born again, we're not separated from God until we turn our back on him and just deny him entirely. But don't miss the fact that when you start doubting God, you are getting away from his power in your life. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and no longer captive to its powers. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. By living in God, by living in his love, by living in his way. That's what gives us the ability to minister to people that we would not even think about ministering to. That's what gives us the ability to be in the midst of a fight with your spouse or with your brother or sister and still be able to get through it, because love will overcome it. And not this kumbaya love, but a true love. If John and I were having an argument and there was something that really was an ought between us, there was something, I did something that so offended John, or John did something that so offended me, we can wreck our relationship, not only with each other, but because of that pain, because of that hurt, that now wrecks my relationship with God. If we truly love, if we truly understand that, then I'm going to do everything I can to reconcile, and John's going to do the same thing with me. That's what we need to do with each other. Yeah. That's what we need to do with the world, because that's why we're not relating to the world and able to deal with the world, because we keep judging the world. And we need to overcome. So here's the new app, which is the first app. We need to apply Jesus Christ to our life. We need to recognize what he's done. We need to understand that he is the one that makes us overcomers through his blood. He is the one through whom God did everything. He is the one in whom God resides. He is the one through whom we reside and have our strength. So whose strength do we actually have? It's not just the Son of God. We have God's strength entirely. You want to know why you can be an overcomer? Because God resides in you. Now, this is not some woo-woo, we're all little gods thing. We have that power and authority when we recognize who Jesus Christ is in our life.
Yes, amen.
Amen? We're going to take a couple of minutes. And I'm going to ask people to just, in little groups here, get together to pray for one another. We haven't done this in a while. But I really think that there are some of us in here who could use a little bit of strengthening, no?
Yep.
We could actually use a little bit of connection with somebody else. Because some of you sitting here listening to this message may not be able to even get over some of the things that you're going through. They're difficult. Life is hard. And when life is hard, it makes it real difficult for us to think that we can overcome. Some of us go through relational problems, monetary problems, work problems. There's all kinds of problems that exist out there. Some of us get into spats with our spouses or our children. Some of us get into those places where we have struggles and we're not sure that we can overcome. Well, let's stand up. Let's grab hands with at least four or five people around us. And let's pray for each other.